I'm going to ask you to do something that some churches do every week, and I'm going to ask you to do this today. But I'd like you to take your Bibles, open to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'd like you to stand as we read this together in honor of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 11. Some of you have digital devices, need to turn there, and others have an actual Bible. Take the time that you need to get there. And we'll go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 30 to the end of the chapter. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she received the spies with peace. What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, and also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. They worked righteousness. They obtained promises. Like Daniel, they stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong. They became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, and women received their dead raised to life again. Elisha and Elijah experienced that. The woman at Zarephath and the woman at Nain. But now things take a different turn. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth, and all these things, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive what was promised. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. You may be seated. I'd like to bow in prayer. Father, I pray that as we look into this passage this morning, that you would work in our hearts and increase our faith in the journey that you have for each of us as we take steps towards the kingdom that you promise. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A friend of mine called me one day and he said, "Don, you're the first person that I thought of to call. I just heard from my daughter in California that she's been diagnosed with a severe brain tumor. Having lost your daughter, I couldn't help but call you first." He explained to me what was taking place. But then, months later, after treatment, and now even today, on August 23, 2026, this young mother is walking around in good health and cancer-free. God is good. A man loses his job. The company is going downhill. Layoffs are occurring. He depends on this job in order to be able to provide for his family, and he gets the pink slip and told that, as sorry as they are to let him go, that even after 28 years of service, they have no other choice because things have gotten that bad. Within weeks, however, he makes applications to other company. And now not only does he get hired, but he gets hired even at a higher rate of pay. His family's excited about the new place that they're going to live and the new city that this is going to bring them to. God is good. A young family that has 4 children announces at church that number 5 is on their way. They're so excited, They have four healthy kids, and they just found out that this, after having four boys, they found out that this next one's a little girl. They couldn't be more delighted. God is good. But when Jason Kaufman hears about a daughter that was heard that had was healed, and he hears the words, God is good, what's he thinking? As his little girl was just buried on the west side of Mound Ridge in their graveyard. Or the man that lost his job too, and the best that he could find is a minimum wage employment in town and janitorial work that he's much more educated and trained in, something that he can do with computers, but nothing opens up. And he has to bring home some bacon for his family. What about that young couple that just begging God for a child? Nothing happens. It's miscarriage after miscarriage. Want a family so badly, but it just doesn't seem to be working out. How do they feel when they hear that God is good to the family that announces the coming of their fifth child? And that's why I have entitled this message, The All the Time Christian. I remember the day on June 28, 2018, that my wife and I were sitting together and the phone rang, and we answered it, and it was my son-in-law and daughter, knowing that they had an appointment that day due to some rising pain and back pain and weakness and fatigue. I was already nervous about this phone call, and when the phone call came, these are the very first words that we heard. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. And proceeded to tell us that 100 tumors had been discovered in her lungs, 3 on her spine, and a large one on her liver. I'll never forget the words, all the time. In our passage today, we read about more people that experienced the goodness of God, and that is the goodness of God. There's nothing to be ashamed about in announcing the goodness of God about a better job or another child or a good health report. God is good, and we must recognize that He's good. But as we look at these people that Travis and Dwight have brought us through these past months, about separation of a sea and swallowing up the most powerful army on the earth at that time, and delivering this group of people that had virtually nothing. We hear about them waking up and eating food that's right on the ground for them to pick up every day, and that they're in a wilderness. And I've been in that wilderness. I wore out a pair of tennis shoes in 3 weeks in that time that I was there. And yet their sandals on this rugged ground never wore out for decades. You hear about Jacob and his dream and how God led him and the ways in which God preserved his life against an angry brother. And you learn about all of these heroes of faith. And then today, about David obviously killing Goliath, Daniel experiencing deliverance from hungry lions, his three friends not getting swallowed up by a burning fire that the people that threw him in were dying just because of getting close to the heat. You learn about people that experienced the resurrection of their sick daughters and sons. A whole different turn takes place in this passage when now we hear about people that were destitute, people that were killed. Tradition tells us that the prophet Isaiah was sawn in two with a wooden saw. Imprisoned, martyred, scourged, belittled, spoken against, false accusations. And the question is, God is good, but do we believe that He's good all the time? When things appear to go south, and that's what our passage deals with today that we read. As we go into Hebrews chapter 11, we know that in these verses that we just read, the biblical examples that we have studied so far, and then in these verses, 30 through 35a, additional examples that the author knew about of people that experienced the great victories that God gave to them. Victories over armies, victories over giants, victories over fire, victories over hungry lions, victories that were worth celebrating and worth praising the goodness of God. But then all of a sudden, it takes a turn. In 35b through 40, he says, and there were others, because the author moves to a different realm of the faith life. In this passage, there are 12 different terms used to describe persecution of some sort. And one of the greatest compliments is given in Scripture in this passage. I love it in verse 38 as he describes these people and the difficulties that they encountered. It says they would not defame the faith. They would not cave in to the pressure to deny their God, and rather would take the persecution instead. And the author says the world is not worthy of people like that. They're the true heroes. You ever get Sports Illustrated to study about your heroes? Patrick Mahomes. For me, back in the day, Roger Staubach. You don't know who he is, but anyway, I do. We all have them. Sometimes our heroes are not just athletes, but could be musicians, somebody of great accomplishments. Graham and I took another one of our grandchildren. We were in Washington, D.C. the other day and took him up to the Capitol, and Senator Moran's office gave those two a great Capitol tour, and they went to the White House and went to a new display that's available to the public about the Oval Office. We went to the memorials. One of them was Abraham Lincoln, of course, the hero to the people. Huge memorial. Took pictures in front of that. These are heroes. A man who led our country through difficult times, and some people debate whether he was a hero or not. I get that, but many people look at him as one of the greatest of all time. But instead of Sports Illustrated hanging around our house, right now we have this magazine instead. Patty reads it cover to cover every month that it comes out. It comes from an organization called Voice of the Martyrs. And article after article are about Christians around the world who are suffering for their faith in Jesus Christ. The Nigerians are being slaughtered. Literally slaughtered. Christians who are living in the central region and the northern region that are getting shot almost daily. Those that are living in Southeast Asia going to prison, falsely accused. Some of these articles are about people that are in extreme poverty because they are not people that are viewed highly amongst their own. These are heroes who are staying the course. You know why? Because they believe that if they stay the course, there's a better resurrection. Did you know that every Christian will be resurrected from the dead when Christ comes back? We'll meet him in the clouds, but every Christian will be resurrected from the dead. But that's not what they're putting their hope in. They're putting their hope in a better resurrection. Because those who persevere through suffering for Christ, says, they will receive a better resurrection. All believers are going to be resurrected. But the heroes anticipate a better resurrection. I use an analogy to describe this. All of us have been to high school commencement ceremonies, college commencement ceremonies. And when you see these young adults coming in with their caps and gowns, you will find that as you watch closely that you'll see a few of them that will have a gold cord around their neck with a tassel at the bottom. Or you'll look in the program and you'll see that there's an asterisk and sometimes two asterisks. And usually there's one that has three asterisks. They're all graduating, but some are having a better graduation because they're being honored for their academic accomplishments, their hard work, their perseverance through difficult times. Their grades and so forth didn't come on a silver platter. Most of them paid the price. They're experiencing a better graduation. And that's a small picture that when we appear before Christ in our resurrected bodies, there will be some that will figuratively have that gold tassel around their neck for having died for him or suffered for him or been persecuted for him or had to go through a trial that God did not heal so that that person could testify of Christ and his sufficiency, not because he delivered them, but in spite of the fact that he didn't heal them. Because they were people who were all the time people. They didn't lose faith in his goodness when God didn't come through with the good doctor's report or didn't come through with the hopes that we have when we go through trials. The key to the interpretation of this passage is the term a better resurrection. Now keep in mind the examples that experienced victories on this side of the kingdom, they also had some difficult times. I mean, I can imagine Moses coming to the edge of the Red Sea and say, boy, what now? With this army coming trailing on their back end. Sure, there were times that they had despair. Sure, there were times that they wondered what was going to happen. So they experienced both God is good and also all the time. It's not wrong to celebrate the goodness of God from a good doctor's report or from a new child or from a better job. That's not wrong at all. It's good. It's right. But it's not the only part of Christian living. There's the other side that doesn't get the attention that it deserves. Then the delay of the saints of old, he says at the end of our verses, if you take a look there at the last verses of chapter 11, that the delay of the coming kingdom is for our purposes, for our benefit, so that we could participate in becoming people that join them in having a better resurrection. All these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise yet. They haven't gotten their tassel yet. They haven't had their better resurrection yet. Because God has provided something better for us. Because he wants us to participate with all these people. He wants us to participate with David. He wants us to participate with Elijah. He wants us to participate with Abraham and Moses. He wants us to participate with the widows from Zarephath and from Nain. And he wants us to participate with Isaiah. Can you imagine? If tradition is true, can you imagine getting sawn in two with a wood saw? Can you imagine the resurrection of Isaiah standing before Christ, who he did that for? And the honor and the commendation that Jesus will give to him on that day. And already the scripture says the world isn't worthy of a guy like Isaiah. He's not people like Jason Kaufman. The world's not worthy of a father who can still continue to trust God when his little girl's body goes in the ground. The world's not worthy of people like that. The world is not worthy of people who still believe that God is good all the time. What a compliment. The delay of the saints of old are experiencing enable us to participate as what was found in chapter 2, many sons to glory, being a metakoi, a partakers of the heavenly kingdom of eternal reward. We've studied these words. We won't go through them again today. The persevering by faith. The better resurrection in the New Testament is important. The word resurrection is the Greek term, anastasis. And in Philippians 3:11, the Apostle Paul says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. And we're thinking, what? Are you not sure, Paul? You're hoping that you get resurrected? I thought all believers are going to get resurrected. Or are you not sure you're a believer? Or what is the deal that you have some doubt about this? This is a fascinating verse, because the truth of it is that the word anastasis is used here, but it's a form of the word that is only used in this verse in the entire New Testament. It's never used anywhere else. The term is used is ex anastasis. Ex is a prefix. It can mean out of, like exiting, or it can mean more, like extra. And the Apostle Paul saying that in my sufferings for Christ, that I may obtain an extra resurrection, or a better resurrection, as the author of Hebrews says. Paul desired that. He wanted that. And he knew that his sufferings of being stoned and considered dead, eventually being beheaded, the scourgings, the false accusations, the pursuit, were all worth it. Because God is good all the time, giving him the opportunity to obtain an extra resurrection. I love that. Peter says, if you do these things, the conditions are listed in the first 9 verses of this chapter about godliness and the development of godliness. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be abundantly supplied to you into the everlasting kingdom. Every Christian will go into the everlasting kingdom. But he says, if these things are true of you, you will have an abundant entry into the kingdom. In other words, the trials that you go through in life are used by God to hone you and to develop godliness in you, to break away the affections for this world in order to be able to latch on to the world to come, so that you can have a better resurrection. As you live your life, not for the things of the here and now, but for the promises of God, like the Old Testament saints of chapter 11 did. And like it's said of Moses, he looked to the reward, and therefore forsook the riches of Egypt. Romans 8:28 is a common verse. God works all things out together for good. You've heard it before. One of the mistakes that we make, because we don't study context very well, is this isn't a promise to all believers. God works all things out together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose, which He defines within the context to be a co-heir with Christ if we suffer for His name. So God is using even our negative experiences to prepare us for the kingdom. No matter what that negative experience is, whether it's being falsely treated by other people, wrongfully treated by other people, whether it's our own physical illnesses, whether it's the difficulties and the losings of the job or not having the children that we wanted, whatever those difficulties are, and you love God and you desire that better resurrection and you want to be a co-heir with Christ, God's working every detail out to prepare you for that so that you can experience that. That you can have a better resurrection. We need to realign our perspectives of who the true heroes really are. We should thank God, enjoy what good things He does give us. Thank God for that pregnancy. Thank God for my house. Thank God for my yard. Thank God for my wife. Thank God for my kids and my grandchildren. And then to thank God for what He's teaching us through difficult times. Thanking God for the way that He's using trials to hone us. We thank God this morning in our den for just some great benefits that we're starting to now just to get a tiny little glimpse of how God is using the greatest trial that we've ever gone through for good. And I know He has personally changed our lives through it. And there's more to come. We need to prepare our hearts to accept the call to be the all-the-time type Christians. Let me share with you something that happened this week. I've been on, as a pastor, been in many occasions, I shouldn't say many, but a number of them, where I've been in people's rooms just at the moment they died. One of them was my daughter, but there were others in previous ministries. And you watch some of the suffering, the shortness of breath, the pain. You witness difficult times, very difficult times. You see family crying. You see all the things that come through the valley of the shadow of death. And this week, I got a call from our doctor. Said, let's do a CAT scan. Oh, no. So for 3 days, I fretted. And each day got worse and worse. I had my bladder cut out. I was wondering what life will be by carrying a bag. I had fears going so bad that in the early morning hours, I began to shiver. I was so scared of what this was going to be. The day the report was supposed to come back, this last Friday, I sat by my cell phone. I one way looked, wanted it to happen, another way I dreaded it. I dropped Patty off at a Bible study she attends in Galva with some women, and morning came and went, and no phone call. This is what Patty and I read in our devotional that morning of that day. By David Roper, the path by which God takes us often seems to be to lead us away from our good, causing us to believe we've missed a turn and taken a wrong road. That's because most of us have been taught to believe that if we're on the right track, Because God is good, it will translate into earthly good. He will heal, he'll deliver, he'll exempt us from disease. We'll have money in the bank. We'll have kids that'll turn out well. We'll have nice clothes, a comfortable living, a leisurely retirement. And I'm thinking, oh no, God's preparing me for this. This devotional didn't come by happenstance. It's not going to be good news. In that version of life, everyone turns out to be a winner. Nobody loses a business or a failed marriage. Nobody lives in poverty. It's a pipe dream far removed from biblical perspective, however. God's love often leads us down roads where earthly comforts fail us, so he can give us eternal consolation. When we come to the end of the valleys, we will understand that every path has been selected out of all possible options for our ultimate good. God could not have done this by taking us any other way. No other route would have been as certain as the one by which we came. If only we could see the path as God always sees it, we would actually select it. Because God is good all the time. I was fretting so bad. Sitting in my living room, Patty says, why don't you just go do something? Go do something. Don't just sit there. Finally, I decided, okay, I'm going to go fill the car up with gas. I need to add a treatment to the gas. I'll do this, get out and go do this. So I went to the gas station, filled it up, and then I was driving back, and I started feeling a little bit better and less nervous about things. And I said, you know what, I'm going to just run through Brahms and get a small little child's ice cream cone. And I'm pulling into Brahms, and the phone rings. Clinic. I pulled over, here it goes. We've scheduled surgery to have your bladder removed or kidneys removed. Hello? Yeah, Don? Just to give you a report, your CT, no tumors. Got a slight abnormality in your kidneys, but nothing serious. Don't need to see a urologist yet. But you got a fatty liver. I said, I just turned into Brahms. She said, well, have the ice cream cone today, but then call it quits. She said, it's good news, no tumors. But I promise you that before that phone call came, Patty is my witness as we sat in that living room. I said, God, I am willing to be an all-the-time Christian, if that's what you want. And I'm confident that phone call did not come until I was willing to be that all-the-time Christian. This report happened to be a good one, but that doesn't guarantee all reports in the future will be for any of us. It doesn't carry the promise that the childless couple is going to have a baby. It doesn't guarantee the promise that other people that feel that lump in the shower, it's not going to turn out to be cancerous. Other people that are working at minimum wage will get this great job. Sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't, but what God is saying is, I am good. And I'm good all the time. Because I am preparing you for something that is almost indescribable, is that when you stand before my son, he's going to say, well done. The world wasn't worthy of you. Come into the joy of your Lord. And let me share with you how you will reign with me in the kingdom and the assignment that I have for you. And you will be able to honestly say to heaven and sing the song, it was worth it all. when we see Jesus. The better resurrection is what it is all about. We don't know how many people in this world are going through suffering like these people are. Most of them don't get articles written about them. Most aren't even known to people. People that are slaughtered and buried in mass graves, but because of their faith in Christ. People that are hidden away in some dark cell of prison in some foreign country. Or people that are encouraged, or not encouraged, but being persecuted in America's locker rooms for standing for Christ without laughing at dirty jokes and by playing fair and honest in the business world. And so many people, nothing is said or applauded to them because we don't even know about them. But the judgment seat will bring it known. Jesus said, whatever was said in secret will be declared from the housetops, because the King is going to let everybody hear about a better resurrection, people. The all the time people, he'll say, would you please stand, all the time people? God is good. And we must celebrate when we experience, I did, the news. But oh, it's good all the time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the hope that we have in the future. And that through these easier times, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for our homes and for our gardens. Thank you for our community that we live in. Thank you for the many good things you've blessed us with, because you are good. Help us to believe that you are good when things don't go the way that we want them. Help us to remember that you're preparing us for a kingdom that is yet to come. As the saints of old in the Hebrews 11, that they look to a city whose builder and maker is God. Give us eyes of faith to persevere, that we might receive that extra resurrection. You've given us your Holy Spirit to empower us. You've given us your word to give us promises to cling to. You've given us the avenue of prayer to seek your help. And you've assigned angels to each of us to obtain this type of salvation, to give us the help that we need, even though they are unseen. We thank you for all those provisions, that we might run our race well to the end and experience what eye has not seen or ears have not heard, what God has prepared beforehand for those who love him. In Jesus' name, amen.